Begins. This thing is finally getting underway, isn't it? Is it? 2012, the circus will soon begin. Hey, greetings, truth seekers. It is I, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow occupying your airwaves, once again. Yes, they've dragged me out from behind bradblog.com to sit in for Mike Malloy, who's enjoying a few days off here, much deserved. He'll be back with you, of course, in the new year. He'll even be back Monday. Most people will be taking a holiday, but Mike will be back on Monday because he cares. And, oh, because he knows that up there in the Bay Area, you folks up there in San Francisco aren't going to be able to hear him live after Monday. So he wants to come and say hello, because they're, or say goodbye, I guess, because they're moving the Mike Malloy Show till the middle of the night up there at Green 960 in San Francisco. If you don't like that, by the way, just, you know, give a friendly call to the folks at Green 960 and be polite and say, hey, we don't like that. We want our Mike Malloy. Everyone else in America, you got your Mike Malloy. But you got me, Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com, sitting in for him tonight. Glad you could join us. We got a big show ahead of you. Let's get some of the business out of the way before I get to, wait until you... Someone's going to have to alert Fox News. You're going to want to write down this address, voterfraud@foxnews.com. That's the address that they've asked citizens to let them know when, you know, when you learn about voter fraud in this country. Fox News wants to know about it. They're on top of it. They want to hear about it at voterfraud@foxnews.com. Write that down, because I have got an explosive case of voter fraud to tell you about. Thousands and thousands of cases of voter fraud that Fox News is going to want to know about. So get ready, because you're going to want to help them find out. Our number tonight, our phone number tonight, whenever I can get to it, will be 877-520-1150. In case you want to write that down, I know in the third hour we're going to take nothing but your phone calls. If I can get to your phone calls before the third hour, I will try. Let's see. Oh, yes, we can be tweeted at The Brad Blog. I'll do my best to pay attention there. The Brad Blog. And what else? Oh, please stop by the bradblog.com chat room, where everyone is already piling in here for the end of the year fun. For Earth is in there. Dez is in there. I think Jeannie Dean is in there, all moderating and helping you in the door. Come on by. Stop on by. Say hello. It's a lot of fun in there, I guarantee you. And coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to be hearing from Spencer Mills, otherwise known as Oak Fauchot, to a lot of you folks out there who follow the Occupy movement. He is one of the great, I'll go ahead and say it, one of the legendary citizen journalist, live web streamers from up in the, speaking of the Bay Area, from up there in Oakland. And he was down here a few weeks ago when Occupy LA was raided by the LAPD. And, well, we're going to check in with him, because what happened to him that night was, I think, extraordinary. And happily, it was caught on videotape. And a fellow by the name, an LAPD officer by the name of Officer Escamilla, has some splaining to do. I will fill you in on what all of that coded discussion means in a little while. We're also going to be joined in studio by Cheryl Eichle and Lawrence Zeiss, both Occupy LA folks who were detained by the police. Again, when was that? October? I've already lost the date. When they raided the, September 28th, 29th? We'll figure that out. When they raided City Hall, threw people in jail, detained them on buses for hours, forcing them in many cases to urinate on themselves, shackling them and forcing them to, kneel on concrete for 7 or 8 hours. That's otherwise known as torture. And, of course, there has been, as far as I can tell, no accountability whatsoever to what the LAPD did that night out here in Los Angeles several weeks ago. Going to try to bring help move along some accountability to these folks, to these Los Angeles police officers, and discuss some of the ordeals of some of the occupiers and what they had to go through. One of them that we're going to talk to was held in jail for 10 days. And you know what the charges were at the end of those 10 days? Nothing. All charges dismissed. All right, we're going to talk about that. And, oh, yeah, then there's this other thing that's going on in, Iowa or something. I've been following it. Some of the other media has been covering. Let's see. What are they covering there on CNN? There we go. Oh, it's the Iowa caucuses. Oh, there we go. Yeah, the Iowa caucuses are going to be going on less than just days from today, Tuesday, up there in the Hawkeye State. All right, turn it off, turn it off. That's circus. Caucus. I said caucus, not circus, Tony. Let's get that straight. I didn't say circus. I said Iowa caucus. Got that? Iowa caucus. All right. Now we're, now don't even think about it because, Anyway, voter fraud, I wanted you guys to know about. This is remarkable, just absolutely remarkable. And remember, Fox News wants to know about it whenever there is, whenever you see voter fraud. They want to hear about it at voterfraud@foxnews.com. This just broke. Well, last Friday when I was on the show, I told you that Rick Perry did not submit enough signatures to, enough valid signatures to get on the ballot, the primary ballot up there in Virginia on Super Tuesday. He could not come up with 10,000 valid signatures in the state of Virginia. Well, after we got off the air late Friday night, we got the news that Newt Gingrich also couldn't get enough signatures to get on the ballot in Virginia. Virginia, his home state. This is extraordinary. All that you need is 10,000, but Newt Gingrich couldn't come up with enough. Well, we've learned a few more details about those 10,000 signatures that that Newt Gingrich could not get in the state of Virginia, his home state, where they know him best. And the people who know him best didn't want him, apparently, on the ballot in Virginia in the Republican primary. Anyway, what we have learned is, thanks to Newt's own admission, Newt Gingrich has committed thousands and thousands of acts of voter fraud all by himself. We're talking some 1,500 counts of voter fraud committed by Newt Gingrich, the former Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. Republican Newt Gingrich has committed voter fraud. Thousands and thousands incidents. And I guess this is the first act of voter fraud in the 2012 election. Let me explain. Should I explain or should we go to a break here, Tony? It's a good point to go to a break. Okay. Well, I'll just leave this. We'll take a quick break, come back, and I will explain Newt Gingrich's voter fraud and how he has committed thousands of counts of it in the state of Virginia that Fox News is going to want to know about. And other than that, I'm going to prove to you tonight in this first hour that Republican polling place photo ID restriction laws have nothing to do with preventing voter fraud. They don't care about voter fraud, and the Republicans all know it. Brad, in for Mike Malloy, lots straight ahead. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Yes. Talking to you, Newt Gingrich. Change your evil ways. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy tonight. Explaining to you this hour why it is that Republican polling place photo ID restriction laws have nothing to do with preventing voter fraud, and Republicans know it. And I will prove that to you in this hour. But before I get to there, speaking of voter fraud, yes, Newt Gingrich committed massive voter fraud in the state of Virginia. As CNN and Talking Points memo reported last night, quote, Newt Gingrich, who failed to make it onto the ballot in Virginia, is alleging that fraud on the part of one of the signature collectors is to blame. Report, this is from CNN, quote, we hired someone who turned in false signatures. We turned in 11,100. We needed 10,000, and 1,500 of them were by one guy who, frankly, committed fraud, Gingrich said to a woman in Algona, Iowa. In any case, he admitted that 1,500 of them were fraudulent as they were turned in. These are the signatures that Newt Gingrich needed. He only needed 10,000 to get onto the primary ballot in Virginia. However, 1,500 of them were fraudulent. He says they were by one guy. Now, if we use the Republican Party Fox News standard for determining what voter fraud is, it is clear that Newt Gingrich himself has committed massive voter fraud in the state of Virginia. Why? Well, because you may remember, for years and years, Fox and the Republican Party have been telling you that Acorn committed thousands of cases of voter fraud. Of course, Acorn committed zero cases of voter fraud. In fact, there is not a single case of a fraudulent vote being cast via any improper Acorn voter registration. Now, some of Acorn's workers, a very small handful out of the tens of thousands of workers, a very small handful did commit voter registration fraud by filling out these registration forms themselves because they thought they needed to do that to get paid. However, Acorn discovered that the workers had done that. They flagged those fraudulent registrations as fraudulent and then turned them into officials with that flag that said they were fraudulent. Acorn did that with their own quality control because they, Acorn, was being defrauded by these Acorn workers, these few Acorn workers who did this. The same way that Newt Gingrich appears to have been defrauded, if we can believe him, appears to have been defrauded by one of his workers who turned in 1,500 fraudulent signatures to put him on the ballot in the state of Virginia. And yet, when Acorn did it, you may recall, I'm sure you've heard it. I'm sure you've heard it on Fox News. I'm sure you've heard Republican elected officials lying about this, telling you that Acorn committed voter fraud. And we have evidence because thousands of registrations have been turned in and they were fraudulent. And therefore, Acorn committed voter fraud. No, Acorn did not commit voter fraud. Some of Acorn's workers committed voter registration fraud, but not voter fraud. And those incidents of voter registration fraud were turned in to officials by Acorn themselves, who asked for these Acorn workers, these rogue workers, to be brought to justice, who asked for them to be prosecuted. Newt Gingrich, on the other hand, apparently didn't bother to verify any of these signatures before he turned in 1,500 of them that were fraudulent. And again, if we go by Fox News standards, this means Newt Gingrich committed massive voter fraud in the state of Virginia. And I think everyone listening ought to let Fox News know about it because they pretend like they're really concerned about voter fraud. And so much so, so concerned are they that they created an email address, a special email address. That address is voterfraud@foxnews.com. When you hear about incidents of voter fraud, they want to know about it. So please, by all means, let them know. That's voterfraud@foxnews.com. Let them know that Newt Gingrich has been caught committing thousands of acts of voter fraud in the state of Virginia. He joins, of course, many luminaries before him. Ann Coulter actually did commit voter fraud on her own. Real voter fraud. Not Fox News made up voter fraud, but actual real voter fraud. She did that. So did the Republican Secretary of State, the Republican Secretary of State of Indiana, Charlie White, who has been ordered removed from office by a circuit court judge because he committed voter fraud and was therefore not legitimately on the ballot when he became the Secretary of State last November in 2010. He's been ordered removed from office. Separately, Charlie White faces seven felony charges, three of them for voter fraud. This, by the way, is the chief election official in the state of Indiana. The state of Indiana that was the first to pass a photo ID restriction on voters that would be approved at the Supreme Court. Yes, the Secretary of State of that state, Indiana, the Hoosier state, has been ordered removed from office thanks to his own voter fraud. But you see, the thing is, as we head into 2012 and into the Iowa caucuses up there next Tuesday, the thing is that you have to remember that Republicans don't actually care about voter fraud. Their photo ID restrictions have nothing to do with preventing voter fraud. It is meant to keep you from voting. No matter what they tell you, it is meant to keep people who tend to vote Democratic, you know, the elderly, minorities, students, people who don't have the photo ID that is now required in many of these states where Republicans have passed these laws. It's to keep you from voting. And that's going to play a huge part in the 2012 election. I guarantee it. But not only is it not meant to prevent voter fraud, it's not meant to prevent voter fraud, and Republicans know it. And they're lying to you about it when they tell you otherwise. They know this has nothing to do with voter fraud. And this hour on the Mike Malloy Show, I, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, will prove it to you. Stay with us. You're listening to The Malloy Show.
What is wrong? And the evidence is clear. I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter anymore. And is not worth fighting for.
Fighting for your vote. Each and every one of your votes. Fighting to make sure that you can vote if you want. Fighting to make sure that your vote gets counted if you decide to vote. And that it gets counted in a way that we can all know that it has been counted. You know, people who know me, I'm Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com, in for Mike Malloy tonight. People who know me know that I cover this year-round, not just when the elections begin. But they are about to begin. We are just days away from the very first votes being cast up there in the Iowa caucus. And the not circus, the Iowa caucus. I know it's very confusing, Tony, but it's the Iowa caucuses. All right, that's anyway, voting is about to begin up in the Hawkeye State. See? Okay. Up in the Hawkeye State next Tuesday. This stuff is going to matter big time because as these Republican photo ID bills have been passed all over the country, people are going to be denied their right to vote under the guise of staving off voter fraud. But, of course, when it comes to voter fraud, when it comes to polling place voter fraud, when it comes to in-person impersonation at the polling place, which these photo ID laws are supposed to be about, that's what they're supposed to prevent, well, it doesn't happen. People don't go to the polling place, say they're someone else, and then vote. It just doesn't happen. Even the George W. Bush, his own Justice Department, could not find one case of in-person voter fraud impersonating at the polling place. So these photo ID restriction laws are meant not to prevent voter fraud, but to keep you from voting. At least that is if you are elderly, if you are a student, if you are a minority, if you are someone who votes for Democrats more than Republicans. They don't want you to vote, and they will do whatever they can here to stop you from voting, and that's what they're doing with these laws that we hope will be turned back. But the Republicans not only are trying to keep you from voting, they're claiming that it's voter fraud, but they know it's not. They know it is not, and I will prove that to you this hour. They know that they are lying to you about voter fraud. We've talked in the past, as I've been on the Malloy show here, we've talked about 84-year-old Ruth L. Frank, who may have to pay some $200 in order to cast her vote up in Wisconsin, where the Republicans up in Wisconsin have instituted one of these insidious anti-American, anti-small d democratic photo ID restriction laws. Ruth L. Frank doesn't have a photo ID because she's never had a driver's license, because she's never driven. Nonetheless, she's been able to vote without a problem since 1948, but she was born at home without a birth certificate. So in order for her to get a photo ID, she needs to show a birth certificate. They're giving them away for free. That's what they tell you. Oh, the IDs are free. How hard can that be to get? Well, if you don't have a driver's license, it's hard to get it. But even if you can make your way to the DMV to get a free photo ID, you have to show your birth certificate. But Ruth L. Frank was born at home. She has no birth certificate. So to get one made, because her name is in the Registry of Deeds, to get one made, she'll have to pay $20. Well, that's good. It'll cost her $20 to cast her vote next year in the Badger State up there in Wisconsin. But there's a problem, because the Registry of Deeds has her name, but there's several typos in it. Therefore, even if she pays $20 to have her birth certificate made, she won't be able to use it to vote unless she changes what is in the Registry of Deeds, which will cost upwards of $200 to cast her vote. Ruth L. Frank, 84 years old in the state of Wisconsin. Thankfully, that is being challenged now by the ACLU up there in Wisconsin, who is fighting for all of our rights to vote. Ruth L. Frank is the lead plaintiff in their case, charging that this is unconstitutional. A suit that has been filed now in federal court, and if it is successful, it could well undo all of these photo ID restriction laws around the country. We may talk about that more tomorrow with Ernie Canning from the Brad blog, who has been writing about that specifically, that case up there in Wisconsin. So we've talked about her. We've talked about 96-year-old Dorothy Cooper, who is fighting to vote under Tennessee's new voter suppression law. She's 96 years old. She's African American. She was born before women had the right to vote at all. She's been voting in virtually every election for the last 70 years without a problem. Even before the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and the Jim Crow era in the South, she was able to vote without a problem until now. Why? Well, she has a birth certificate, so she can go get one of those free photo IDs. As a matter of fact, she tried to. She made her way to the DMV, 96-year-old Dorothy Cooper. She showed them her birth certificate. She showed them all sorts of documentation to prove that she is who she says she is. However, she couldn't find her marriage certificate. And since she got married somewhere along the way during her 96 years, her name has changed. It's now different from what's on her birth certificate. So she was denied a free, quote-unquote, free photo ID, just like some 500,000 legal and largely Democratic-leaning voters in the state of Tennessee. Yeah, we talked about her. You see these laws that I mentioned? These laws have nothing to do with preventing voter fraud, and Republicans know it, and I will prove that to you in this hour. Then there's 93-year-old Thelma Mitchell, also from Tennessee. She cleaned up the state capitol for 30 years, including the governor's office, for 30 years. She was told that she will not be able to vote because her old state ID is now expired. When she went to get one of these free IDs, she was told that she might be an illegal immigrant. You see, she was born by a midwife in Alabama in 1918. She never had a birth certificate. So she's having trouble now getting her new free photo ID under the anti-American, anti-small-d Democratic Republican photo ID law that has been passed in the state of Tennessee. Shamefully. Now, someone in the House Republican caucus said that, oh, Mitchell was mistaken. She can vote. Just because her ID is expired, she can still vote. Well, there's some confusion about that. And if she was confused, this woman who worked at the state capitol for 30 years, who's known by all the lawmakers, known by the governor personally, if she's being told that her photo ID is no longer valid as a way to vote, how many other people are being confused by this law? And, oh, by the way, someone actually bothered to check the law, and the law says that you have to have a valid photo ID. Well, is an ID that has been expired, is that valid anymore? I don't know. If you're pulled over by a cop and he asks for your driver's license and it is expired, is that a valid driver's license? How many people are going to be turned away by these laws that have been put in place by Republicans who are lying about the reason, who are lying about it, telling you that it has something to do with preventing voter fraud, which it doesn't, and Republicans know it, as I will prove in this hour of the Mike Malloy Show. So, 93-year-old Thelma Mitchell is having trouble voting. 96-year-old Dorothy Cooper. 84-year-old Ruth L. Frank, and we are just beginning to hear about these cases. We're going to hear a lot more as this election season continues. We're going to hear about other Americans. We're even going to hear about Republicans who have trouble voting this year. And their own party doesn't give a damn about it. So, no. These photo ID restriction laws have nothing to do with preventing voter fraud, and Republicans know it. By the way, that Indiana Secretary of State, Charlie White, Indiana, the state, the first state to pass a photo ID restriction law and see it approved by the Supreme Court, Charlie White, who committed voter fraud, he did it in 2010, 2 years after they instituted the photo ID law in the state of Indiana. And yet, it didn't catch him, did it? It didn't catch Charlie White. It didn't keep him from committing voter fraud. The voter fraud that he has now been told, because he committed it, he needs to be removed from office. Federal judge says the Secretary of State in Indiana, the chief election official, needs to be removed from office. Where is Fox News yelling about this? Where is Fox News yelling about Indiana's Secretary of State, the chief election official in the state, in the first state to pass a photo ID restriction law? Where is Fox News yelling about the voter fraud that was committed by the Secretary of State? Let them know about it. VoterFraud@FoxNews.com. Why aren't they screaming for the Indiana Secretary of State to be thrown in jail the way they're screaming for Democrats to be thrown in jail when they haven't committed voter fraud? Where are the outcries? Where are the screams to defund Newt Gingrich for thousands of cases of voter fraud that he admits to committing voter fraud, at least by the Fox News standard, that he now admits to committing up there in the state of Virginia? Why hasn't he been defunded the way Acorn was? Huh? Why hasn't Congress passed any laws? So there is some pushback beginning. Happily, the Department of Justice is finally taking this up a bit in at least one state, South Carolina. We talked about it last Friday, and maybe soon in Texas. There are other states that aren't covered by the Voting Rights Act, at least not by Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, but South Carolina is. And in South Carolina, where Mitt Romney is furious because Eric Holder rejected South Carolina's discriminatory photo ID restriction. Yes, the DOJ found that it was racially discriminatory. And they also found that it wouldn't stop any fraud. This is from the letter that the DOJ sent to South Carolina last Friday when they rejected their photo ID voter suppression law. They said, the state's, quote, the state's submission did not include any evidence or instance of either in-person voter impersonation or any other type of fraud that is not already addressed by the state's existing voter identification requirement and that arguably could be deterred by requiring voters to present only photo ID at the polls. They did not put forward a single instance of photo ID, voter fraud that would be stopped by photo ID. At the same time, by South Carolina's own numbers, it turns out that minority registered voters are 20% more likely to lack DMV-issued ID than white registered voters and thus to be effectively disenfranchised. So the DOJ found South Carolina's law to be racially discriminatory, therefore in violation of the Voting Rights Act, and they rejected it. Now, South Carolina has promised to somehow appeal that decision. And at the same time, Mitt Romney has come out and said it's outrageous. He completely disagrees with the DOJ. He completely disagrees with Eric Holder that photo ID in South Carolina can't be required to cast his vote. And there were some reports of that, some reports of Mitt Romney saying that he disagreed. But no media bothered to ask him, well, Governor Romney, which part of the letter from the Department of Justice to South Carolina do you disagree with? Nobody bothered to ask him because our media, our corporate mainstream media, is crap. So if someone up there in Iowa comes across Mitt Romney, just go ahead and ask him, which part of the Department of Justice's letter to South Carolina do you disagree with? He won't be able to answer because he doesn't know, because he didn't read it, because he's a liar, and he's willing to say anything he can to become president of the United States. And by the way, Republican polling place photo ID restrictions have nothing to do with preventing voter fraud, and Republicans know it. And I will prove that to you right here on The Molloy Show when we come back after this break. Brad in for Molloy.
Manic depression has captured my soul.
Welcome back. Oh, the party. The party, the Republican Party, who wants to undermine. Listen, when it comes to election integrity, I will fight for every Republican. And you know what? I'm going to be Newt Gingrich's best friend, Ron Paul's best friend, Rick Santorum's best friend. If they have problems with the election system, with the voting machines, in whether it's in Iowa, up at the caucus up there that's about to go on next Tuesday, or anywhere else, New Hampshire, the whole circus. I will be there I will be there fighting for them. But for those people who are fighting to keep people from voting, no, I will not be fighting for those people. I will be fighting against them. And in this case, they happen to be Republicans who are doing this. And Republicans don't care about voter fraud. If they did, they would be all over Fox News yelling and screaming for the Indiana's Republican Secretary of State to step down since he was found by a judge to have committed voter fraud and should have never been on the ballot in 2010. They know that their photo ID restrictions have nothing to do with preventing voter fraud. How do I know this? How can I prove this to you? Well, because next Tuesday in Iowa, the voting begins. Now, up there in the Iowa caucuses, the Republicans set their own rules. This is not run by the state. It's not the state election board. It's run by the Republicans themselves. They set all the rules. They decide how people will vote, who gets to vote, and everything else. Now, earlier this year, Republicans in the state House passed a photo ID restriction bill up there in Iowa, that was sponsored by the Republican Secretary of State. Thankfully, it was killed in a Senate committee, but once again, the folks in Iowa claimed, the Republicans in Iowa claimed, they needed this to prevent voter fraud on Election Day. And yet now, their caucuses are next Tuesday, and the Republicans themselves are setting the rules for those caucuses. And guess what? The Republicans themselves are requiring no photo ID to vote in the state of Iowa. Their own voters, their Republican voters, may vote in the state of Iowa, no photo ID necessary. Oh, and by the way, you can also register to vote on the same day. You could register to vote as a Republican and vote on the same day, something that Republicans have fought against allowing anywhere else in the country. But in Iowa, at the caucuses, you can vote, you can register to vote on Election Day and then vote, and you don't have to show a photo ID to do it. No photo ID necessary. I confirmed that this week with the Secretary of State's office up there in Iowa. The spokesman from the Republican Party wouldn't call me back or write me back via email to explain why it is that they're so worried about voter fraud, and yet when they hold their own election, the first in the nation caucus, the all-important Iowa caucus, they don't bother to require photo ID from anyone. And, of course, the answer we all know is because they don't give a damn about voter fraud. These laws have nothing to do with voter fraud, and the Republicans know it, and it is simply about keeping Democrats from being able to cast their vote. If they cared about voter fraud, they would require photo ID next Tuesday up there in the Iowa caucus. Some 1,800 caucus sites around the state. But nope, you can walk on in, you can register that day and vote. No photo ID necessary because they know there is no voter fraud. They know that they are the only ones who are committing fraud, committing it on the American people. I'm going to have more to say about this, I suspect, later in the show. And in third hour, I'll take your calls if you're dubious about any of this. I'd love to hear from you. Coming up next hour, some occupiers are in the house. Brad, in from Malloy.